the story of Jesus and the graveyard demoniacs, part 6, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day number 626, since January the 20th, 2017. And every time I mention that number, that is a reminder that God did it before against the devil and his demons and his evil. And God can and will do it again. It is a testament to his faithfulness and his power and might. Day 26 since January the 20th, 2017. Day 993 since January the 1st, 2016. Almost 1,000 days from that date. Only, I guess, by the end of this week or next Monday, we will hit the 1,000th day. Day 1,000 since January the 1st of preaching the gospel nearly every day, January the 1st, 2016. That is a testament to the glory of God. It is a reminder that God can do it no matter how feeble and weak we may feel in the battle. God is able. For all of those days, we had challenges and battles and fights. And the devil fought us hard each and every day we preached the gospel. But God has. God can. God is able. God will carry us through. I like one of the mottos of Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. We must win. We will win. Winning is the name of the game. Amen, somebody. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. In order to win, you must understand that you have a foe. You have an enemy. Someone fighting against you, trying to make you lose. Therefore, making winning very valuable and worthy of celebration. That foe for us is the devil and the demons of hell. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible reads, "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils." Either this is true or it is not. And we know it's true. For Jesus never told a lie. God never told a lie. "Possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way." "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." Now mind you, this was not two little piglets or three little piglets running around. This was a herd of swine. "And he said unto them, Go. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, That means they came out of the men and went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently. They were violent inside the men, and when they got into the pigs, they were violent as well. One of the marks of a demoniac, one of the marks of a demon-possessed person, a person possessed by demons, oftentimes is that they are violent. Violent in some way or another. It may be overt or covert, but they're violent. Some are outwardly, some were inwardly violent. Makes no difference if a person kills you with a knife or kills you with poisoning your drink. They are still violent. You have people who are violent, who you can see it. They wear it on their shoulder. And you have some who are violent, who are passive-aggressive, violent, demon-possessed people. The whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, not for a revival meeting, not for a crusade, but to inform him of something. And here's what they did. And when they saw him, they besought him, basically begging him, pleading him with him, that he would depart out of their coasts. Jesus, who came and delivered the men in the graveyard from the demons, they wanted him gone immediately. Not the demons, not the swine, but they wanted Jesus gone. Not the violent men, but they wanted the Lord Jesus Christ gone, who had just delivered these men from demons. That's how backwards our society is today as well. We're taking the Ten Commandments out of the state house and putting a image of the devil into the state house. Let's pray if we can. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody praying. We praise you and we thank you for the good that has been done this past, throughout this past day. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the gospel work that has been done to even set up this meeting. For without that work being done, the pre-work, the preparation work, Lord, we wouldn't be here tonight. And so, Lord, bless all of that work and use it and anoint it for your glory, praise, and honor. Have mercy, Lord, and grace upon us all, as for those of us who are believers in Christ and who are sincere in our faith in Jesus. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, our disobedience, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, we thank you for the occasional late night preaching, and we thank you, Lord, for the series of daytime preaching that we've had and the great numbers that have come and the many amens and their support and their love, their hearts and their appreciation all around the world. And so, Holy Father God, we invite you to show up and show out as you normally do in spite of us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us. Fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit at this moment, at this point. Grant us fresh unction from on high. Unction and anointing to get together. And Lord, grant me clarity of thought and clarity of speech as we deal with this difficult subject. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil and the demons of hell that are fighting against us, trying to keep us from not preaching this message and getting it out. Lord, bless and anoint and protect all of the mechanical apparatus that carries this message from this hill across the country and around the globe. We thank you, Lord, for the technology of the day. And we pray that millions would hear the gospel and millions would be saved. We pray for over 3 million to hear the gospel through this ministry and through this preaching. And millions more will be saved through the preaching of others. We pray for over 3 million Christians to return from their backslidden state and get back on the firing line of prayer, reading your holy word and obeying your holy word and witnessing to others, to recover themselves by your grace through the name of Jesus Christ from the devil, the snare of the devil. And Holy Father God, we pray tonight that you'll cast out the devil and the demons of hell out of those who are possessed by demons and devils, who are filled with the demonic spirit, filled with a demonic duping the light grin at the evil that they have done and that they are doing and that they plan to do. Cast out the demonic spirit of rebelliousness and stubbornness and pride and uncleanness and violence and all ungodliness of thought, word, and deed. And Lord, set the captives free. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and give us once again sweet victory, as you've done nearly 1,000 times in this series alone. And glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus casting out demons is described several times in the Gospels. This is just one of those times. However, it is only in the case of the Gadarene, if you will, the Gadarene men, that we read of what happened to demons after they were cast out of a person. In this case, the demons had begged Jesus to let them enter a herd of swine. For demons, obviously, are not dumb. They're not stupid. They are foolish, but they're not dumb. They wanted to go into a herd of swine. What a request. These demons had the presence of mind, if you will, to know that they were getting ready to get cast out. And one of the smart demons, I can imagine it in my sanctified imagination, one of the smart demons spoke up and said, Jesus, now, you know, what you doing here? You know, we're doing our dirty work. So one of the smart demons rose up and said, Jesus, why are you here? What's up? What's going on? Are you here to torment us before our time? I know we're going to be cast out, so well, how about this? Why don't you just cast us into those swine? You know, we know that you have, because see, the devil knows the scriptures. We know that you don't believe in eating swine because they're unclean. So since you all have written that, it is written, let us go into the pigs. Now, my baby girl, this is horrifying to her, because when she was little, she, one of her, besides her dog, one of her favorite animals was the pig. Out of all the stuffed animals she ever got, she loved that pig more than the rest of them. She just had a fascination with pigs. I don't know why. So this is horrifying to her, and I hate to even talk about it, but this devil said, okay, since you're going to cast us out, because I know you're here to do something, cast us into the swine. Jesus said, go. Just go. It was one of those kind of goes that I don't even deal with you. I don't want to talk to you. Go. Just go. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not tell us where demons go when they are cast out. Being spirits, they are not limited by the physical dimension of space. This is the only time we get to see this. However, in Matthew 12:43-45, Jesus describes the behavior of a demon that has been cast out. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. Demons, can you imagine demons seeking rest? And findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself, watch this, seven other spirits or demons, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. They enter in and dwell there. They get a hold of a beachhead in your life, if you will. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, regarding this passage, Dr. John Walford and Dr. Roy Zuck state Satan's house here is the body of the person who is possessed by the demon. Do you have a demon tonight? It appears that the demons are restless and seek bodies in which to reside. When the demon left, this man's life was changed for the better, but his life was still empty. When the demon returned, he brought others with him. And the man's life ended in destruction and tragedy. You wonder why? Listen to me very carefully. You wonder why there's so much tragedy, so much destruction of lives? My God, help us in this world. Just this past week, a beautiful young lady got hooked up with a handsome young football player. She was a cheerleader. We all know how that goes. She was a cheerleader. He was a strong, muscular football player. He is, rather, he's still living. They had sex together, evidently. She got pregnant. Teenagers now. He did not want that in his life. Somehow he killed her, dumped her in a trash can. Two lives, two families are destroyed by the devil and the demons of hell. And this happens every day. It may not appear in USA Today. It may not appear in the New York Times. But it happens every day across this country. Lives end in tragedy. You wonder who told the man taking all of the happy pictures on Facebook with his beautiful wife and two beautiful daughters to kill his wife and then kill the two girls and kill his pregnant wife and kill the two girls and throw them in a vat of oil so deep it took them hours to get them out. Bury her in a shallow grave. And then after doing all of that demonic dirt, he went to a little restaurant and got a sandwich the next day. Like nothing ever happened. There's a devil loose, people. You need to stop lying to yourselves. You need to stop tripping, as we used to say. Stop trying to explain stuff away. There's a devil loose. There's no reason why your marriage is shot to hell right now. There's no reason why you are separated. This has nothing to do with personality conflict. The devil is in the mix. There's no reason why your child that you have raised to serve God is out there like a demon in the dry places. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. Dry places. See, when you're walking with the devil, your life is dry. Your life is dead. Your life is dusty. There's no joy in it. Excuse me. There's no wetness. It's a desert. Walking with the devil is like walking in a desert. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. You have some dry people around you. They have no life about them. They look dead, half dead, mad as hell all the time, sad as hell all the time, depressed, defeated, disgusted. They have no joy. They have no wetness in their lives. No water is flowing. When your cup runneth over, they don't have a drop in their cup. Are you kidding me? They don't have a drop. They don't even have a cup. They lost it out there with the devil near cactus out in the desert somewhere. Not a drop of water. Walking through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Are you walking through a dry place? You're probably filled with the devil and the demons of hell. Excuse me. I know you want me to preach a happy Christian message. There's nothing happy about this, people. There's nothing happy about your child that you were so happy to see come from the Lord, and you raised that child for the glory of God, and the child comes out of his room with markings all over his face, looking like a demon from hell. Tattoos on his black face. Your daughter cutting her wrist. This is all demonic activity, people. Killing a girl because she got pregnant. Marriage is shot to hell. You know who created the hell? The devil. He's all about hell. Family shot to hell. Messed up. And what do our churches do today? We just put a band-aid on it and create a ministry for it. And we call it divorce care in our churches today. We used to call it rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Now we just accommodate every evil We've got suicide watch ministries. And people with straight faces, serious looks on their faces, they have created a ministry called Suicide Watch. We got to watch the saints who are on the verge of committing suicide. You know what happened in their lives. And I say to all of that, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. God never told you to kill yourself. There's nothing good about killing yourself. The devil is hounding you to hell and hounding you to death. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the primary application is to the nation of Israel, especially that generation present from this verse that we're talking about. When Jesus ministered on earth, the nation had been purged of the demon of idolatry, which had plagued them in the Old Testament. But reformation was not enough. And reformation is not enough for you. Reformation could cleanse, but it could not feel. The nation should have received the Savior and been filled with spiritual life, not deadness, not dryness. Your cup ought to be, as the old saints used to say, running over. My cup runneth over. You ought to be so excited and so ecstatic and so fired up and ready to go as a Christian. The devil and people should not be able to stand you. God's people ought to be happy, celebrating, cheerful, joyful people. And if you're not that way, even if you're an introverted person, there's something wrong in your life. Maybe you have a demon. Maybe you have been slipped a Mickey. Maybe you have never been born again. And so, back to the quote, instead the people rejected Jesus, just like they rejected him in this city, where the demons were possessing two men. And the end, of course, was destruction. There is a personal application. It is not enough to clean house. That is reformation. We must also invite in the right tenant. The Pharisees were proud of their clean houses, but their hearts were empty. We have many religious folk like this today. They're proud of their big religious houses, but they are dry and dead on the inside. Mere religion or reformation will not save. Mere religion or reformation will not change the life. You will never experience your cup running over. You will never experience being full of joy, full of peace, full of happiness, and a fruitful life. There must be regeneration. I'm reminded tonight when Dr. Elijah Thompson out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, ran back one day and preached a message titled Regeneration, Not Reformation. And he pointed out that you must be born again, you must be saved to have the fruit of Christ in your life. There must be regeneration, the receiving of Christ into the heart. We cannot be neutral about Jesus Christ. We cannot be of the party that says, Jesus, we don't want you because you're too radical. We just wanted the demons contained, the demoniacs contained. We wanted to fix things where we can walk around the graveyard and visit our dead. And we had a plan down at city council to take care of this, but now you came on the scene and you took care of it, but you're hurting our economy as well. So we need for you to go. You're causing a disturbance. So that same boat that you rode over here on, yeah, we need for you to sail back on that same boat. Because I tell you, we can't handle it. We can't take it. You have messed up the status quo. And there's so many people like that today. They have been living in misery so long, it has become normal for them. Dr. Sammy Madison used to say, I've been down so long, down don't bother me. And there are many Christians like that today. You've been down so long, down don't bother you, and you don't want anybody to disrupt your downness. You don't hear any talk about upness. Let's keep the downness going real good. I'm okay with that. I'm used to the downness. I'm used to the darkness. Don't cut on any light. No. I'm used to the darkness. I like the darkness as is. I have learned how to cope with the darkness and with the downness, man. What's with all the light and the running over? Hey. You're messing my life up. You are disturbing me. I'm down with the downness, man. I'm down with the darkness. Leave us be. Jesus, get back on that boat and take your light someplace else. And that's how so many people are, not only in the city, but in the church. And the church wants to be accepted so much today by the world, they have shut off the light at the church. And the church is saying, okay, it's all right. Yeah, we're going to join you all in the darkness of adultery. It's all right. We're going to join you in the darkness of demonic drug taking and drunkenness. We're going to join you in the darkness of fornication. And we're even going to join you in the darkness of homosexuality. The darkness. We're going to join you and agree with you. It's okay. We're going to set up a ministry for the homosexuals. We're going to set up a ministry for the adulterers. We're going to set up a ministry in the church, on church ground, for fornicators. And we're going to throw some of these folks in a hodgepodge thing called singlehood. And where all of the devils will be able to go divorce 2 and 3 times to whore around. And there's a big old matchmaking thing, and not for marriage, but, you know, for sex. One preacher said there was so much sex going on in the church, fornication and adultery, he said he could smell it. It's so bad. The demons have entered into the church house. And they love, and if you go to try to cut the light on, they're going to get rid of you too. Amen, somebody. And they're going to push you out into the wilderness. They don't want to hear from you. They're going to try to shut you down when you start to try to cut the light on. They love their misery. They start jerking and moving like roaches, running like roaches. They can't stand the light of the Word of God. They want a show. They want somebody to tickle their ears. Make them feel good in their sin and their evil. We have young people who want a pastor who will somehow let them know because he's out committing adultery and fornication and have girlfriends and a reputation for whoring around that they can whore around too. We're all human. You know how we make mistakes and so forth. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this teaching shows us that demons always seek a place of possession. They are restless. And I would venture to say to you, people who are demon-possessed, who are motivated by devils, are the same way. Isn't that interesting? You know, some of the most evangelistic people in the world are demon-possessed people. You take the saved girl at high school, they're trying to evangelize her when she ought to be trying to evangelize them. How do they evangelize her? Oh, you're square. Look at, why are you wearing that dress like that, girl? You ought to put some tight pants on you. Show that behind. You ain't gonna get no man like that. Oh, you a virgin? Oh, my soul, I can't believe it. Pardon me. I can't believe you're a virgin in this day and time. We got to get you hooked up with a girl boyfriend to take your virginity away. When she ought to be evangelizing them and inviting them to church, they are evangelizing her. Watch this. All people who are demon-possessed and demon-driven are very evangelistic. And by the way, what's happening in our country right now? Some of the most evangelistic people. And don't get offended by my using the word evangelist. The tech companies use the word evangelist. Business companies use the word evangelist. They have evangelists at Google. They have evangelists at Facebook. Okay? Some of the most evangelistic people in the world, and you see this in the story regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. The men were demon-possessed. Two beings came to see Lot. And they were knocking on doors, witnessing. I mean, we're supposed to go and knock on doors as Christians to try to win people to Jesus. They were knocking on Lot's door. Lot! Let us see those men, those handsome, strange-looking men that came to your house. Lord, they're very evangelistic. Lord, if you don't open this door, we'll break this door down. We got to have those men out here right now. They didn't want. Lord said, no, you say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Because Lord had cracked the door open and said, listen, don't do so wickedly, you homosexuals. I'll give you my daughters. You can do with them what you want. Lord had lost his mind as well. And what is happening in America today? A man, a comedian, much less a preacher, a comedian can't make a joke about homosexuals. He loses an opportunity of a lifetime to host the Oscars. A football player, a genius, gifted football player, can't say nothing at 14 years old about the foolishness of homosexuality. He's a Christian. He wins the Heisman Trophy. And now they're trying to mess his life up. He's barely out of his teens. Why? Because the homosexual community, led by demons, controlled by demons, are very evangelistic. They're restless. They're constantly trying to get other people to join their wicked band that's going to hell in a handbasket. You say, preacher, aren't you afraid that somebody's going to say that you should not say that and try to cut you off? They already tried to cut me off. But I'm not going to, I'm not a little Kevin Hart. I'm Daniel White III. I was called by God to say what I got to say. And I'm going to keep on saying it. And keep on preaching the word of God until Jesus comes, or until I die, or until they kill me. These demons desire control over some physical aspect of the world, preferably a human being. However, in the case of the Gadarene men, they settled for swine, for pigs, for hogs. Jesus permits the demons to enter the swine, telling them simply, go. The Bible says when they were come out, They went into the herd of swine. What a name. Swine. That doesn't even sound good, does it? And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. So why did Jesus allow the demons to enter into the pigs? David Guzik says, the fact that the demons immediately drove the swine to destruction. Immediately drove the swine to destruction explains that he wanted everyone to know what the real intention of these demons was. They wanted to destroy the men just as they destroyed the pigs. They were slowly but surely destroying, working on the men and destroying them from the inside out. If you have a demon right now, he is destroying your mind little by little, destroying your heart little by little, destroying your soul little by little, and one day, zip, bam, boom, he'll have you right at the cliff, and he's going to toss you off over into hell. It's the frog, the boiling frog idea. Slowly but surely. Slowly but surely, he's going to destroy you. Keep on riding with the devil. He's going to destroy you. Because men are made in the image of God, he said, they could not have their way as easily with the men, but their intention was just the same, to kill and destroy. And that's what the devil wants in your life. He is not your friend. He is not your buddy. Oh, he's going to make the sinful light shine bright. And all of the tantalizing evil looks so good and so fun. And the short skirts and the tank tops and everything. And the fast living. Going to end up with fast dying. And you will be destroyed by the devil. Some have paid a lot of attention to the seeming significance of the demons being allowed to enter the swine, the pigs, the hogs. The popular commentary is that since it was against the Mosaic purity regulations for Jews to eat pork, much less raise them, that Jesus was simultaneously judging the Jews in that region for their disobedience to the law. I mentioned this the other night. However, it is just as likely that the herd of swine was owned by Gentiles. Either way, it must have been terrifying for the herd's owners and the people standing by to see hundreds of hogs suddenly driven mad, stampeding violently down a slope and hurling themselves off a cliff into the sea. The people who witnessed that event would have never forgotten it. In fact, the text talks about how shocked they were. They went telling everybody what happened. In that moment, Jesus showed the ultimate outcome of demonic influence. Hear me. And hear me well. And the ultimate end of the demons themselves, just as the swine perished in the waters, those who are not freed from Satan's grasp will perish as well. And the demons who drove the swine to destruction will also end up in eternal destruction and perdition. Bernard of Morlaix wrote, "The world is very evil. The times are waxing late. Be sober and keep vigil. The judge is at the gate. The judge who comes in mercy. The judge who comes in might. Who comes to end the evil of the devil. Who comes to crown the right. Arise, arise, good Christian. Let right to wrong succeed. Let penitential sorrow to heavenly gladness lead, to light that has no evening, that knows nor moon nor sun, the light so new and golden, the light that is but one, O home of fadeless splendor, of flowers that bear no thorn, where they shall dwell as children, who here as exiles mourn midst power that knows no limits, where wisdom has no bound, the beatific vision shall glad the saints around. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very serious series and message in a very serious moment. And so we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and his demons and his hosts out of the lives of people who don't know your Savior, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls tonight. Cast out the devil and the demons in the lives of Christians who have allowed the devil a foothold in their lives through looking at pornography, watching things they should not watch, reading things they should not read, through the eye gate, through listening to things they should not listen to, through the ear gate, listening to ungodly lyrics created by Satan, listening to ungodly music instead of listening to the hymns, engaging sexually with people in fornication, in adultery, and in homosexuality, not realizing those demons can pass through sex, and they're acting differently. They don't know why a demon has been passed into their being, and they're demon possessed. And so, Holy Father God, and some are demon oppressed. And so, Lord, we pray that whatever the case, you would cast out the demons from hell out of the lives of these people. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and give everybody sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And so, my beloved, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin, the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell fire. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins. If we don't trust God's salvation by trusting Christ as Savior, our soul will go to the punishment of hell forever. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. not because he hates us, but because he loves us. He was warning us. If we don't repent and trust Christ as Savior, we will spend eternity in hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a place of outer darkness. Hell is a place of gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of weeping. Hell is a place of eternal pain. I know that you don't hear this much from preachers, but it is still true. Hell is bad news, my dear friends, and hell is forever. But I have some good news for you tonight. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him in heaven. Trust Christ as your Savior tonight. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal hell. Saved from the power and pain and destruction of sin in your life. God will teach you how to be obedient to him and live the blessed life. How to trust in him, how to love him back, how to fear him and respect him, how to obey him and to be faithful to him. He'll do it. If he could do it for me, he can do it for you. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Christ as Savior, that he suffered. Jesus Christ suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. Pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now. Follow me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God in heaven, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied many times before. I've lusted after people and things many times before. I have dishonored my parents before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've stolen things before. And many other sins I have committed in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, as the sacrificial Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world, including mine. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to change and to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. If you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.